Hi everyone, welcome to the inaugural first episode of Not About the Weather, the new podcast created by myself, Karen, the Not Another Teen Wolf podcast team, and a whole host of new people starting this new project for you to listen to, which we've talked about at length online, and we'll go into a little bit right now about what we're going to be doing before we get started with the actual first episode of the show. It's very exciting and weird, and it's going to be probably a bit of growing pains and a bit of not quite sure how this is going to go, honestly, but we want it to be casual and more conversational and not really, a formal recap, podcast or anything like that, like you might have heard from us before. So hopefully you don't mind that. There might be a few more ums and ahs, a few more swearings and a few more interruptions than your standard call and response listening podcast like you've heard from us before. So hopefully that's okay with you. That's what this show is going to be like. I am one of your hosts, Natalie. I am one of the original NATWP team members, as you would probably know, because that's probably the only people listening to this right now. And I'm joined today by my faithful partner in podcasting crime, Karen, one of my oldest podcasting buddies, Mitch, and our very brilliant Ariana, who for a very long time I thought hated me, and I'm very intimidated by her genius and very glad to have her here on the show with us as well this week. So I guess just talking about what this show is going to be, this is going to be a show for us to talk about whatever we are excited about on any given day or whatever's annoying us. Usually it'll be in the world of pop culture. But sometimes it might be a bit more personal, or sometimes it might be a bit more political, or whatever. It's just going to be a conversation show between, a group of us that have podcasted together for a very long time to talk about all of the little things that people are always like, oh, you should make a podcast about that. Like, I'm like, well, we can't really maintain a podcast forever about that one thing, but we can have a general podcast where we talk about it when we feel like it. So that's kind of how we're going to go, and it came from, obviously our podcasting community with Teen Wolf finishing up, but the announcement that the show's going to finish up, and we've built this great podcasting community that now has a shelf life, basically, and we didn't want that to happen, so we've done this. So hopefully that's okay with everyone and that you like what we've come up with. Any suggestions, feel free. We hope to get a lot of guests on to speak with us, people we know from various walks of life, people with interesting jobs, people in the entertainment industry, hopefully to participate in the show as the format stands, to talk about the things that they're excited about, whether it's their own work that they've got to promote or just to have a chat about whatever they feel like. So hopefully that'll be good as well. And we hope that this is a format that's really versatile and could really have all sorts of guests and very easily slip into what we do. So let's say hi quickly to everyone that's here today. So first of all, Karen, hi, how do you feel about being on this podcast today?
Hi, pretty good about it. I'm excited. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet for us because we've been doing Not Another Teen Wolf podcast for so long, and it's weird that Teen Wolf is ending, and I don't think I've processed all of those emotions yet, but when the show was announced, our first thought was like, what about the podcast? And we knew, like, Nat and I knew we didn't want to stop podcasting together, so this was sort of, our solution to that, and I'm pretty excited to see where it goes.
Ariana, you were at that Comic Con, not hanging out with Teen Wolf with us, but you came to my hotel room that night and we were like, we're going to do a podcast after Teen Wolf finishes and you're going to be on it. So you're stuck here now. How's that for you?
It's good. I mean, that was quite the introduction. I feel like I have a lot to live up to. I'm not a genius, but it is a fair assumption that to like assume that I hated you because I hate like most people. So yeah. That's like, it's better to err on one side. But no, I mean, when we heard the news, obviously, I feel like the first thing everyone thought, I was with the hypeable people. And we were all like, oh, but what about Natalie and Karen and Danya and Brooke? And like, we were just thinking about you guys. So yeah, but I'm excited to be here. I'm excited you guys get to keep up your podcast. And Mitch and I and some other people are like the newbies. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun, I hope. And yeah, my basic standard on this podcast is it has to be of a quality that Ariana is not embarrassed to be a part of. That's every bit of work that I've put into this podcast so far. That's like my standard. That's like my what would Jesus do? Like is having Ariana not be embarrassed to promote this podcast publicly. So
you've done some fabulous table flips, I have to say, Ariana. You really have.
Yeah. In the creation of this podcast, which we'll go into more later, or possibly post a blog post about, because that's one thing that we're going to be doing as well with this whole quote-unquote brand, you know, we've gone through a very long process of naming it and all sorts of things. And quite a few times I've said, you know, that I'm not going to do something unless everyone's unanimous, or that, you know, if anyone has a real big objection, that it's not going to just be like four against one, that if there's a real big objection, that's a deal breaker, which I've referred to as if anyone would like to flip a table, they can. And there have been one or two table flips in the process of getting this podcast set up, but I think we're going okay for now. I think that we're off to an all right start, you know, however many months later after Comic-Con this is, four or something. So it has taken a while. Mitch, how are you feeling today about creating this new show? Because you and I obviously did Glee Chat together, you know, right, 5,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And all through that process, you know, our listeners there were always like wanting a show, a chat show about the tangents that we'd go off on and stuff like that. So I wonder if any of them are still out there, you know.
I'm right here.
Were you a Glee Chat listener?
I was. I used to listen to Glee Chat.
I forgot. Karen did too.
I did.
Karen, I love finding your old comments. Every once in a while I trip over them because I have a reason to kind of like poke around the old Glee Chat posts, and then I see like Karen commenting something like, John was so funny this week, I can't believe that Roxanne, like
my first tweet I ever tweeted was at the Glee Chat account.
That's adorable.
Oh my god. Really?
Yes, but you didn't read it on air.
Now I need to go look at what it was. Okay, this is like mind tripping. Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah,
okay,
have you? Can you still access it, Ariana?
Oh, my what?
Like your original tweet? You still have it up, right?
Oh, I don't know. There. I'd have to go through like 50,000.
We'll find it
tweets
for another episode. We'll find it anyway. Speaking of Twitter, we still have one. We're actually using the NATW podcast Twitter and Instagram as a hub for both shows. It's why we named the podcast Not About the Weather, is because we wanted something to go with the initials so we could, like, kind of keep the accounts going and not just have one account drop off, a brand new account starting from scratch when we were actually doing it as part of the same team. So we've got NATW podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We've also got a brand new Facebook page, which is probably about 5 years overdue, but it's a hub for this podcast and Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, NATW podcast on Facebook, so Facebook/whatever, NATW podcast@gmail.com, and we also have a couple of websites. Our website for this podcast is notaboutheweatherpodcast.com, which you can also follow as a Tumblr account, just like our Teen Wolf podcast Tumblr account, same format. And you can send us an ask. We also have natwpodcast.com, which is a beautiful, shiny site which doesn't do too much. It just exists as a hub for both podcasts. So if you want links to everything, just check that one out. It's the same handle as the Twitter and the Instagram and the Gmail and the Facebook. It's probably the easiest thing to do. So now that's all out of the way. It was a bit clunky. Here is what we're going to do. The main body of our chat each week is going to be a discussion of something every host is excited about that day or week or whatever, and something that is pissing them off, frankly. So something they want to complain about, and something that they want to talk to us about in a happy way. We are tossing around names for this segment, and at the moment, the best option I have is an obsession to share and a grievance to air. So I like to rhyme, and that's what we're going to go with for now. We were thinking about whether we wanted to do this kind of like all the bad ones first and then end on a positive note, or if we wanted to go like one person do both of their stories or whatever. At the moment, we're kind of wanting to keep things quite positive and get excited about things, so we don't want to end on a sour note every single time. So do we want to try the good old coin flip to see whether we're doing positives or negatives first?
Are your thumbs ready for such an exercise?
Can you do it?
I can try. I was practicing flipping a coin and it wasn't working too well, but we'll see how we go. So I've got a 20-cent piece Australian, which has a platypus on it. The other name for this segment we were thinking about was a hype and a gripe, which is a great rhyme and a great short name. We may use it occasionally. We've got, so heads, Queen Elizabeth II, tails is a platypus. So heads will be... I think the platypus is more positive than the queen. So tails will be pipes, and queen will be gripes. So I'll flip now. So so are we flipping for first or flipping for last? So if it comes up heads, is that going first? Or if it comes up heads, is that going last?
First.
Okay, first, whatever comes up is going first. Okay, cool. Let's go.
So platypus means hypes go
platypus
first.
Means hypes. Yeah, okay, this is going to be really, really badly done. Okay. It is queen first, so that is bad things first, gripes.
Good,
first.
Because I think it sounds better anyway. I want to talk about Karen's.
Okay, so we're going to, let's start with Karen then. So Karen, what is it that you would like to, what grievance would you like to air this morning?
Mornings, just mornings in general. I feel bad complaining about this because I know that Mitch and Ariana woke up way earlier than I did, but I thought we were starting this podcast at 9. It was decided at 1 a.m. my time that it was going to be 8. I had like 3,000 messages, which actually I really appreciated.
You had 3 messages. And originally decided as 8, and then we kind of said, maybe we could do 9. You originally, Facebook liked the 8 schedule.
Yes, and you didn't like the 9, so I thought, okay, she didn't see the 9, so we're fine.
Oh, I didn't even notice all this. Wow.
We're good.
I'm so confused now. I don't know. Anyway, either way, I was late to the party.
It's fine.
I woke up. And I hate mornings because they're hard. Why is it so easy for me to wake up or to stay up until like 2 or 3 in the morning? And yet, even when I go to bed at a decent hour, it's so hard for me to get up in the morning. That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Some people's bodies are just like that. But it is really weird for you. Like you particularly, out of anyone in the world, I would have thought would be like, a sunshine morning person.
You're like such a nice person. Like Karen is one of the nicest people I've ever met. But like, so that's why it was so surprising when that one time when I stayed in your hotel room and then we woke up in the morning and I was like, "Hi, Karen," and you were like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, she just makes like noises. Like she doesn't wake up properly. She's just like making noises at you in her sleep or in bed or just like not conscious, not fully conscious, which is just
Danya
so
was
funny.
Immediately like, "Oh, don't talk to her right now." Like
you know, I don't really remember. I feel like Karen on the now infamous Karen GPS trip that we took to go to Philly to go see The Host early, the movie. We like woke up in the hotel room with Laura and you were just awake. I don't remember there being like an issue about it, but I remember us not really sleeping or having a chance to like eat food or shower for like a full day. So maybe your body was just in shock that it was missing out on so much other good stuff that you were just like, okay, whatever. I just have to roll with it at this point.
Compensate.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Do you remember how I woke up and my bed had blue dye all over it for my night mask and I thought it was an alien abduction? That was fun.
I do. I actually think about that often. And I'm like, Mitch.
You think about that often? That's
not
pretty exciting, too.
I do. No, I just.
you know, I did an investigation on this with my friends. Like, I had, oh my god, I basically had a surveillance camera set up all night to, like, watch me as I slept to see what happened and see if I was really abducted. Because I was half convinced, because I was like, where is this, like, because, like, all of my bedding was turning blue. It was weird. It was, like, do you remember the bed when we woke up, Karen?
Yeah, like, it was weird. I mean, my immediate thought was not aliens, but no. I'm not surprised that yours was.
This podcast is already the greatest thing that's ever happened.
You know, it's funny, what Karen, because I don't ever remember discussing this with you, but, like, it's such a point of contention with all my other friends that have been involved in this process, but I've never once brought it up to you again. And I just thought about it today, yeah.
There are pictures. There are pictures on Facebook.
So are there? That's the thing. I don't remember.
This? And what? You took a road trip? What happened?
Oh, yeah. When was this? This was the first time Mitch and I ever met. Were you still
living? I didn't even know you.
In...
It was just like, I was just like, hey, Karen. Yeah. You're like, who are you? And I'm like, get in my car.
Exactly.
We're going to go
stranger.
See Philadelphia together.
I mean, but
like,
it's
cool.
Mitch.
Yeah,
Mitch is harmless.
That's true.
I don't know.
I mean, I knew Mitch, like, online, yeah. But not super well. But there was a screening for The Host, and Stephanie Meyer was going to be there, and Laura was going, and I really wanted to go for some reason.
This?
What?
But what year was this?
Oh, it was 2013. Or maybe it turned 2014 at that point. I don't really remember.
No.
Do you think it was fall?
I remember that. Yeah, it was cold.
I don't even remember that movie coming out, but okay. The Host.
I think it was 2014, Karen. Yeah.
I think it was before that.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. It was either 2012 or 2013, because I graduated college in 2013. And it was, like, I think my last semester of college, too. I don't know. I can't really keep track anymore. Regardless, it was an awesome way to meet Karen and Laura, because I don't think any of us really knew each other, but we're like, let's just share a hotel room together. Hopefully no one's an axe murderer. And luckily, no one died.
4-hour road trip.
Yeah, like it was kind of like there's like this weird like I'm not gonna call it like a hypeable trust thing, like an internet trust thing that people have to have in our day and age if they're gonna meet friends off the internet, because you're like, okay, I'm either gonna get killed or I'm not. You can't really like you just have to go head first and do it all.
Oh my god!
Okay. Hey, like we all survived, so.
We did.
We're all still alive. It's all fine. You know, Karen still hates mornings. Perhaps one day she'll get over it, but we'll see.
Doubtful.
But speaking of driving, I feel like that's a good segue into somebody's gripe.
Oh, okay. Mitch, apparently you have a problem with driving.
Well, it's specifically with street parking in cities, because it is the worst, most stressful.
I feel
thing.
You.
Yes, I know that you would feel me because I remember now you have a car. Oh my god, it is, because your car is always getting damaged, that's the issue. It's like, you have basically one poison to pick out of the two. You get your car damaged from parking it in a really strange back alley spot, and someone else is going to open their door and hit your car, or hit your bumper, or you park somewhere that is decent, but you don't know if you're going to get towed because you either had to go too far away to park there and you can't really see, so you have to, like, you know, go check on the car every day. Or you're just guessing because the signage is always really strange. So you're like, I don't know if this is a place I'm going to get towed. There are other cars here, but they might move their cars at 4 a.m. because that's a thing they do. And it's so vague every time. Like, you never know what's going to happen, and it's always trial and error. And it usually ends up with you getting, like, a new ding in your car. And it's so stressful for me, because I drive my car for Lyft, and I try and maintain it's like an Uber company. I try and maintain, like, you know, a good quality of car, like, inside and out. But it's hard when people are literally hitting my bumper all the time from the places I'm forced to park in Seattle. Because, it's very hilly, so a lot of the times you find really strange places to park, and I get why people are hitting my car. I do. I don't like it, but I think it just kind of comes with the territory of not only living in Seattle, but just any city, that you know you're going to get your car damaged some doing parking, and you're probably going to get it towed at least once in your experience of living in that city.
How?
I got towed at a Coffee Bean. Great time.
How inner city are you talking about? Because I don't drive, so there's that. But I don't think that people just hit at each other's parked cars here. Like, I don't think that happens.
Well,
maybe
lucky,
it does,
then.
I don't know. Okay, my dad got hit by a car. My dad was in a car accident the other day. Second time in a couple of months doing the same route. He has this dog. My father got this dog, like, a couple of months ago, and he's crazy obsessed with it. I mean, like he's gone insane about this puppy. Like, it's like a child. Like, we've had a dog my whole life. Our family dog died last year, and it was very upsetting, and he got this dog a year later, and he's nuts about it, and I'm going to talk about it another time because it's, like, way too long a story. He, like, takes it on trips, and he's been baking it cookies and stuff. The other day he called me...
like, dog cookies?
He's, like, been dehydrating meat to make his own handmade treats. And the other day he called me to say, hey, Natalie, can dogs eat garlic? Because I want to give Bella some of my hummus. My dad's really famous for making hummus. He's Israeli. And he called me to see if he could give the dog his hummus so she could experience that. He's nuts about the dog. Anyway, he takes her every day to this dog park to meet her dog friends. And they've been in two car accidents because of driving at this time of day on this same road in the last few months. So... I don't know, maybe people do hit each other, but not while parked. I don't know. Carry on. That's all I know about driving. I don't know how common it is to hit parked cars, so...
It could just really be my block and my experience with what I'm doing in Seattle, because I also live underneath an underpass for a highway, so that tends
to... You live underneath an underpass for a highway.
An overpass. I never know how to say that. Strange.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but you're going to have to send me a picture of this, because I don't understand. There's a road over your house.
Pretty much. Like, not exactly over my house, but, you know, maybe I'm going to say, like, oh, God, 100 meters off. Like, it's close. Yeah, you can always hear it. I kind of like the white noise of it, oddly enough. But I would give anyone this advice, because I think you were presenting this to me, Natalie, before, as, like, the grievance to air is not just negativity. It's, like, how can you improve it or give advice on it?
You can raise awareness about whatever you want, you know, if you want to make your grievance an issue that you need to, like, you know, speak up about and, you know,
well, this is a whole other grievance to air issue, because there's a big thing in Seattle going on that dope is a popular drug and that people come here to do dope because it's more, there's like a more lenient policy on it. And that's probably another grievance for another day. But essentially, just don't live underneath a highway overpass, because I think that also causes a lot of other issues. But it might be something to do with that makes my street tighter and that makes my car get hit so much more. Because it's like one of those, it should be a two-way street, but it still is, even though it should be a one. So that's you're trying to park amongst that, and people are trying to maneuver around each other. It is not, like, parking has been, Adriana, I'm sure you can relate in Los Angeles too. It's just such a stress in your mind all the time. And I hate when people, this is the worst. My pet peeve is when people tell me, don't worry about it. Or you're obsessing about this way too much. When I'm, like, visiting them, and they're like, oh, just park in this random fire lane. And I'm like, I'm going to check on my car every 5 minutes if we're doing that. I'm not just going to let it go. Because I've been towed in many instances in that scenario. Or even instances when I was innocent, honestly. Don't get me started on tow yards. Once again, another grievance for another day. So, yeah, I guess the advice is here, don't live underneath a highway overpass. I don't know if that's the biggest advice I can give you here. I think city living comes with its own business, and this is me adjusting to that. Maybe, let's just say, like, if you live in a smaller town, appreciate it more for the fact that you know you can go anywhere and park and not have an issue. That was really nice growing in upstate New York, I'm sure Karen can relate.
Yeah, we had the one experience in LA when we went to... do BikeCon in 2014. We hired a wheelchair accessible van to go visit the Teen Wolf set, actually, because Brooke, one of the team members of that show and of this show, is in a wheelchair, and we hired a van to drive to go around LA and to go to the set. And oh my god, Karen, it was... Karen wouldn't drive it. But, like, so Courtney drove us, and then my friend Audrey drove us as well. But that was an interesting experience getting around LA in that. That was not something that I don't drive, but I still don't want to do that again unless
desperately
necessary.
I'm pretty sure Courtney still has nightmares about that.
It was
It was really stressful.
Bad. It was very bad.
Yeah, Los Angeles is definitely worse than Seattle in terms of parking and driving and life. I'll give you that much. So I mean, everything I say, I'm sure, pales in comparison to Adriana's experiences for what you have to go through on a daily basis.
I look forward to never driving, probably. So, yeah.
Ariane, that just seems like unfathomable to me. Like, I don't understand how you could, like, live. Like, how do you get through life without driving? Like, but I also live in LA, so, like, we have to drive to, like, literally do anything.
LA is really, you couldn't live there without driving, like, for 100% certain. It's one of the reasons I'm not the biggest fan of it. But there are lots of cities you can live in without driving. Sydney is okay. It's a little bit of a push. It's not like London or New York City are, like, you would not, like, having a car would be a problem, if you know what I mean. It wouldn't be good to have a car there. It would be a problem where you wouldn't have anywhere to keep it or anything like that. Sydney, a car would be useful, but not necessary. And I've never driven. Oh, I've driven in, like, a parking lot. If I start to drive, I'm sure you guys will hear about it. But yeah. Ariana, did you want to talk about your thing next?
Yeah, so mine isn't really a grievance to air. It's more of a something to share, my obsession. But it does make me sad. So, okay. So I love the new show Pitch on Fox, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Apparently it's not doing well in the ratings, and that makes me so sad. So that is my gripe, that more people should watch it.
So can I just say, I haven't seen it yet, because, and I've been looking so forward to it, because it was the only show, and I'm talking about the only show in ages, that I've been like, how can I watch this legally in order to help it, basically? Because obviously I'm Australian, to watch stuff in real time is not particularly legal, because you have to download it or whatever. And I have been, like, seeking out a way to try and watch Pitch legally. So I don't know if it's on Hulu or, like, anything like that. Like, but I don't know why this show would be, considering cancellation already.
Well, the problem is that nothing at that time slot is doing well right now, because it's, like, at the same time as the NFL, so football. And then also, like, for example, last night was the Dodgers won their division series. Super exciting for me. But it was on at the same time as Pitch. So, like, they're both baseball. They say it's not at a great time slot. I personally like it because it comes on after Grey's Anatomy. So I just watch it right after Grey's Anatomy. But it's a beautiful, beautiful show. Super empowering. It's like, has beautiful female empowerment message, but is also not super heavy-handed. It's very subtle, but not subtle. I don't know. It's so great. I don't even like sports. I love it.
Nat and I have had this conversation before, because we're the same way.
We love sports movies and sports stories, but we don't follow any real sport. It's weird.
Yeah, I cry a lot when I watch sports movies. I actually saw the premiere of Pitch and really liked it, and then I had to go to New York Comic Con, so I think I have two to catch up on. But when I saw the news that it was up for cancellation, I was like, already? Like, usually they wait
to, like... Yeah, that's crazy. I thought it was going to be big, and that's crazy. I don't know, but yeah, sports movies, sports stories, I love the story behind, like, I feel like it's a really good, you know, medium for telling, like, a story about adversity, or, like, you know, something that's not too high stakes, but they overcome something and achieve, and, you know, whatever. It's a really great environment for a story to be told in, but because when we watch real sports, we don't, like, necessarily know all those stories in real life, like, behind the scenes, like, the personal life of, and if we did, we'd be considered a bit creepy, maybe. So I have no interest in following the real sport, but, like, sports stories are always fantastic. So I really want to watch the show. I really don't want it to be cancelled. And I really want to know, because this is sponsored by NBL or whatever you call it,
MLB,
whatever that thing. So if this is actually made in conjunction with MLB, how realistic and how close is the MLB to, mixing genders in professional sport? Like, how likely is that to really happen?
I'm glad you asked that, Natalie, because I can answer a lot of your questions since I interviewed the cast and creators at PaleyFest. So right now they actually have two female minor league women players for the first time. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of exciting in the teams
that were formerly men. Yeah.
Yes, because baseball, I believe professional baseball is entirely men. Women can play professional softball. So we have two women on a minor league team this year for the first time. So that's kind of exciting. So they're moving in that direction. And since it's sponsored by MLB, I think that this is a direction they would want to move in. I mean, watching the show, you're like, of course that would make sense. They would make so much money if a girl played, because of course it would be the biggest news story ever.
And that's makes sense, because it's not a contact sport. I mean, it does take, you know, a certain level of, you know, strength and impact with, you know, the way that people can throw and all of that kind of stuff, but it's certainly a sport where people could be on pretty equal footing, like no matter their size or shape or whatever aspects they try and say are different about men and women in sport. So I think it could happen. Like, it seems like it could work.
There are some, like, and they like talk about that. There are biological differences that make it much harder for women, I mean, who are naturally smaller, and just like the way our strength is, like, like our
loaded
strength is
onto
not
the body.
Yes,
yeah, it's different.
It's different, yeah. Which makes us at a serious disadvantage for things like pitching or even hitting and stuff like that. So it's a really beautiful story. And Kylie Brunbury is like my favorite human. I interviewed her. I also really enjoy that everybody on the show is very aware of like how, I mean, maybe they've bought into their own hype of like the first female pitcher, but that they're very aware of how this can be important.
That's what I'm worried about is, like, I mean, I realize that this is only a television show, but if it gets canceled, what sort of impact is that going to have on television too? Because it's such a different story, you know, female led show in a very male dominated industry.
Yeah.
And
not
we already have
female led, but she's not just female led. She's like a woman of color too.
And if it gets canceled, you know, this is just another excuse for them to say, well, these kind of shows don't work.
We tried that. It didn't work.
Did you guys hear about a while ago? There was
Nancy
that.
Drew?
Yes, oh my god, that show sounded so good, and they said it was too female enough.
Yes.
Or too female to be.
I didn't know that was canned, but that's insane.
Yeah.
That was on CBS, and I think that had a little bit to do with Supergirl not getting the ratings they wanted, so that's like a bummer. Yeah.
Okay, it's my turn to complain now, and then we'll move on to some positive things. What I am annoyed about, and it's not just this week, it's been since the start of October or September, it is the world's over-the-top obsession with Halloween. I don't understand this. I understand conceptually what Halloween is. I love costumes as well. I love good cosplay at conventions. If there's a party where it's specifically you're showing up in a costume, like a themed party, I've done some great costumes myself, including on Halloween parties. I do not understand the weird, like, two-month-long, like, merchandise and, like, memes and why it's not just on the day, let's go. Like, why is Halloween this, like, season of holiday? I don't understand. Like, it's insane to me. And it seems like it's, like, a weirdly, like, I don't know, like trendy or, like, a jokey thing. Like, there are so many strange memes about Halloween and skeletons, and I don't understand any of it. I mean, it's not really a big part of Australian culture. There's certainly some influence from America, and we know about Halloween, but I feel like it's gone above and beyond in the last few years, and it's very weird to me, and it's a bit early, guys. Like, you don't need Halloween for a whole month. Like, it's
yes,
okay.
You do.
Like, it kind of reminded me of, I was asking you these guys before we started if they'd seen Community, but for anyone who has, the episode, the Christmas episode where, you know, Shirley is trying to celebrate Christmas and she keeps going around to people saying Merry Christmas, and they keep being like, it's December 10th because it's like before their school year broke up. And I feel like that about this. It's October 10th. It's not fucking Halloween. Calm down.
But it is.
It is. You need time to prepare.
October is Halloween month.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I love Halloween so much. I really don't care about Christmas, which I know upsets a lot of people. And my roommate, Kristen, she really loves Christmas as well. And that I'm like, okay, after Thanksgiving, people start going nuts with Christmas stuff, and that drives me crazy. I feel like you have to wait until December, and even then I'm like, meh, but that's just my personal opinion. Halloween,
at least
need
Christmas
time.
Has songs.
Halloween has songs. There are songs. There are some songs.
The Monster
Nightmare
Mash.
Before Christmas. Oh yeah, that God. Too.
Nightmare Before Christmas is a Christmas movie, not a Halloween movie.
That's okay.
It's both.
It's a good middle ground.
Natalie.
Yes.
It's the entire fall season movie.
You can watch it twice a year.
You can watch it all year. You can watch it every day for the rest of your life and still be happy.
Christmas in Disneyland begins in September. I mean, not Christmas. Halloween in Disneyland.
I decorated my Halloween decorations. I think I might have done it like September 10th. And my mom was even like, what are you doing?
September
10th! I was showing her like my apartment and all the stuff I've done. And she was just like, really? Like, what kind of child have I raised that you decided Halloween begins in the beginning of September?
Consumerism gone crazy. What do you need to decorate for?
I really
love... It makes you happy.
I love, like, taking, like, a seasonal picture in my house. Like, not to, like, say, oh, my Halloween decorations are up, well, let's pose around. And, like, it's a hot, like, it's more of a... My memories will form around those decorations being up, or I'll have events and people are over and we'll take pictures and I'll be like, oh, there are my Halloween decorations. And that time of fall in Halloween in general is always so magical to me because I've just had so many awesome experiences during it. So many happy times meeting friends and hanging out and getting my boots stuck in muddy, sloshy cornfields. It's like... that's the thing. Like, I don't know if I can call this just strictly an American tradition, because I don't know if, like, Canada cares
it
about this.
It definitely is an American, like, it's certainly, it's certainly an American tradition. I don't know if Canada counts as America in this case, but...
Right, because I just wouldn't know from the fact that obviously I've just lived in America. I say obviously, but now you know everyone. I've only ever lived in America for my whole life, so... Yeah, it's always funny to me, Natalie, to hear every year your reaction to Halloween specifically, because I've always known you to be really against it in a way, because you're like, why? You need to stop with this dancing pumpkin man. He doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. Okay. Look, I enjoy a good costume when the need calls for it, but oh, my God, the way people go all out there. I've been in America for Halloween. Like, I've been in the States while Halloween happened, and, like, Chicago, actually, and they go really crazy, like the house decorations, and I was just like the outside of the houses, and I just, such a waste of money, like it's so weird. I don't know. Anyway, sorry to like burst everyone's Halloween bubble.
Where's
but
the
I
joy
don't
in your heart? I consider Halloween almost up there with Christmas, almost.
I don't know if I like, if I really care about. And anyway, holidays are weird here because it's like not really seasonal. Like the seasons that you associate with it are not the same here, and so it's kind of different. But anyway, let's go on to the happy things. So obsessions to share today. Do we want to go just in the order that we've written them down, or does anyone have a particularly poignant one that should go first? Coming off the back of Halloween.
Let's do Mitch's because I feel like his hype is going to be my gripe.
Okay, let's go. It's a transitional period.
Mitch,
you've got a controversial...
It.
You're excited about something controversial this week.
That's good. No, because I already... Well, I already understand where you're coming from, Adriana, because I get it. They're like, here's my hype. it's that Prisoner of Azkaban is a timeless masterpiece, and it deserves all the praise forever and ever. And
I think you mean the book, right?
Are we talking about the movie, Mitch?
I'm talking about the movie specifically because, much like Halloween, I have very specific feelings and emotions attached to my life to watching this movie. I have so many viewings of this movie, and I remember so many of them from the people I've watched it with, and from the ways it's affected me every single time. This time, because IMAX is a thing right now for all the Harry Potter movies. Because they're promoting for Fantastic Beasts coming out. So this time, seeing Prisoner of Azkaban, it hit me in the gut. Because there's something about the weather right now of Seattle that I think can affect any human being. Because it's rainy and it's never sunny right now. That's what Seattle is. This is my first time experiencing that. It is depressing. It absolutely is. And I was just gee, moving to a new city and being rainy all day, I have no one to even see this Harry Potter movie with. Sigh. But then I watched this movie and I was like, oh my God, those Dementors, that is the best metaphor for life forever. And it was so perfect. And I'm not talking acting wise, because the kids do suck so much in these movies. I get it. The early ones are very rough to sit through sometimes. But the adults, Alan Rickman, of course, and then even some of the other, the guy who plays Lupin, I forget his name off the top of my head, or Gary Oldman, they bring this level of, and I'm going to say once again, depression into it. In a way that's just it sucks being an adult sometimes. We deal with it by trying to fight off the Dementors with happy memories of the past. I love that feeling that I have watching this movie, because it actually does the reverse effect. Watching a movie that I find to be fairly depressing ends up feeling more happy for me from the fact that it's a cathartic experience. Whenever I watch this movie too, like I was saying, I always have a new experience with it. I always feel like I've come away from it knowing a whole nother world. It's so strange. This movie does more for me than any other movie has before, and it always will. And I also say it's my favorite movie of all time, not because I know it's amazing, because I do know that especially the trio, their acting is a lot more to happen here. They're not there yet, but I do think that the aesthetic and the theme and the way it's presented, because I do like the way the director made this movie so far out from the first two movies that Christopher Columbus was directing, it fits me so well. I love Prisoner of Azkaban. Adriana, did I hit the point you wanted to make about the kids sucking so bad that it's tough to watch?
No, I have no problem with the kids. I mean, their acting was terrible throughout all the movies. What frustrates me, I mean, I honestly don't really care for any of the movies, with possibly the exceptions of Deathly Hallows, because this one in particular, just like you said, it brings you warm memories. Even now, recognizing that it's a pretty solid quality film, it makes me really unhappy, because I remember when I was 13 or whenever it came out, and I was I was so frustrated because it was so different from the book, and it's it is the best book, and I just felt like the director didn't care for the books. He was trying to make it edgy and give the kids now they're not wearing robes anymore. They're so cool. Hermione is a pink sweater now. Oh, she's so cool. She doesn't have to have the ugly hair. Now she can look pretty like everyone else on TV. And it was just really frustrating to me that he didn't seem to get what the books were really about, and instead wanted to make it edgy and cool.
Interestingly, the clothes is actually something I always liked, because I actually hate the Hogwarts uniforms in the movie. First of all, I've seen all of the movies once. I don't care about the movies. I don't understand the obsession with the movies. For people who are actually fans of the books, I don't understand why people rewatch and rewatch the movies. The movies are I don't see the movie characters as the book characters. And particularly Prisoner of Azkaban with Lupin and Sirius is just I don't understand why they cast those characters as 60 when they're meant to be 35 and hot. But, just saying. But aside from that, Alfonso Cuarón with Azkaban, I did like the casual clothes, because that is actually how they're meant to be in the book. The uniforms, the ties, the jumpers and stuff like that, they didn't have school uniforms. They wore normal clothes with a black, a robe over the top, and I think Rowling drew a picture of it once, but like they were wearing plain clothes with a what would be, I guess, like a smock, like to cover their normal clothes. That's what the uniforms were meant to be originally, like just basically a black button-up robe coat over their plain clothes. So I kind of liked the plain clothes, and I never liked the whole tie and jumper uniform. But the movies in general are not something I understand the obsession with, which is perhaps a gripe for another day, as I don't want to buzz on Mitch's hype too much. But I don't know.
No, it's fine to buzz, because I do understand that I'm really specific in my love of Prisoner of Azkaban for having like strong nostalgia and really strong poignant themes with me. It's not even like this movie fits in the same spectrum as any other movie that I've ever experienced too. It's so weird the way to have, I don't know if you guys ever have had a movie that's done this to you. It's not even because it's Harry Potter necessarily. I think it's just the time that it hit me in life was so perfect that it like, essentially it exploded in my mind. I was like, wow, this whole world is something this third movie world, we're going to call it. It's so specific to something I relate to and that I love. And I love the art of like the changing of the seasons even, or even that there are little bits and pieces that I still today see the movie and I still find, like, I just got on the whole train that Newt Scamander is on the Marauder's Map when Fred and George are handing it to Harry. And I was like, wait, did they just add that in right now, post, you know, it releasing?
No, that would have been a mistake at the time. They were just like, oh, that's a name she's written down somewhere. Well, might as well just put that on there.
Well, mistake or not, it could be a good leading point to the next movies. That could be cool. So I don't know if that's a thing that people are going to bring up again. Because it could be something to do, I mean, with, like, I've heard a really crackpot theory that basically that Newt Scamander turns into Buckbeak. That's his Animagus. But then...
okay.
Well, I mean, I think Draco's was going to be everyone was like, Draco has an Animagus. It's going to be either a dragon or it's going to be a hippogriff. I don't know why. Like, people are really onto the fact that a hippogriff needs to...
Where are you getting this from?
I just remember, like, pre-book 7, like, there was so much hype over Draco having an Animagus. And I remember there being also, like, a specific debate in fandom about it being, like, a dragon or it being a hippogriff. Probably from his Buckbeak connection where he's, like, attacked and whatnot in this one.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I do love this movie. I hold it near and dear to my heart. And I can see it through a very critical lens growing up. And I'm okay with that. I really am. But it still it makes me jump. Like, there are I can't jump for most horror movies. I'm so, like, I've seen way too many to even be scared. Like, I watch American Horror Story with a straight face. I never, like, none of the jump scares get me. But still to this day, I cannot do it when Trelawney comes up to him and gives him the prophecy. The way that it's cut, it's so good. It just makes me crawl. Like, I can't even think about it right now. That scene is so awesome. It's probably because of the actress, mostly. And the editing was really great in that part, too. There are so many moments like that that I just love. I love this movie forever and ever.
My big memory of this is actually, I don't know if any of you ever followed, this is like back in like LiveJournal era fandom, movies in 15 minutes. Did any of you ever know that blog or that community by Cleo Linda?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, I guarantee someone listening will. If not, I'm very disappointed. But that's like old person fandom. Anyway, Movies in 15 Minutes was basically these hilarious movie recaps of and she got a book deal off it and stuff, and she's still one of my favorite people on the internet. But she basically did these, would watch a movie and do these little recaps, like these little parody scripted recaps, which were hysterical, and I still quote some of them sometimes. And this one, the Prisoner of Azkaban one, was a particularly funny one. And it basically has a running gag going on it as like people viewing the various scenes, like thinking to themselves, I think I saw a porno like this once. And then there's a bit later on where I think it's the bit between I think it's like a three-way hug between two of the, maybe between the trio or between Sirius and Remus and someone else. And there's an Alfonso Cuarón note in the parody saying, I think I directed a porno like this once, because the thing that he's the most famous for outside of this movie is a Mexican film called, Ariana, I'm going to slaughter this because we take no Spanish, so I have no pronunciation, so I will apologize. But Y Tu Mama Tambien, has any of you seen that movie?
Y Tu Mama Tambien?
Yeah, there you go, that. Yeah, it's an Alfonso Cuarón movie about these two teenage boys who go on a road trip and have a threesome with some girl. And that's the movie he's most famous for. It's Gael Garcia Bernal and Diego Luna is the two boys in it. And when they were like teenagers and they have some sex. And that's the movie that this guy was famous for when he got picked to direct Prisoner of Azkaban. And so when that happened, everyone was like, okay, then let's see how that goes.
You can feel that in The Shrieking Shack. You absolutely can. It's not even to the point where, like, that's the ship that was already written in the book. There's also, like, this whole new element to Draco Harry here that when he's just like, oh, Harry, did you faint? And, like, the way he's saying it all, it is so evident to me that Draco Malfoy has a crush on Harry Potter, specifically in Prisoner of Azkaban. And it's so weird now seeing that for the first time, because it hit me too. When I was watching it, I was just like, this is like stupidly homoerotic. How did I not see this before? It is so in your face, like the hippogriff scene too.
I feel like that the whole Draco and Harry thing is a whole story for another day, but I never ever saw it in any of the movies or the books reading it ever.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of years, just being on Tumblr, I feel like if I reread the book, like, I'm not saying like they've pushed it. I feel like I wasn't reading it through the same lens then as I would have now. And that if I read it now, that I might be like, yeah, that's, I'm sure I will reread them at some point. I've read them many, many times, but, yeah, I feel like that is a thing that's there. But anyway, that's a little bit far off the point, perhaps a conversation for another day. Karen, do you have any thoughts about the movies, about Harry Potter movies or Azkaban specifically? Do you remember it at all?
Well, as a lover of terrible movies...
Oh, God.
Stop it! No, Karen!
I don't even like this one.
That's because the terrible movies you like are actually terrible.
How about the werewolf in this one? The werewolf CGI in this movie?
No, that's good! It's fine! What's wrong with it?
It's so awful.
Really?
I will say when I first watched this, like, I really didn't like it. I mean, I'm sure when I first watched it, I was just excited that it was, you know, another Harry Potter movie. But I've definitely disliked it a lot more over the years. And then recently, like, we actually just rewatched it recently. And I was like, you know, it's fine. It's not my preference of a movie, but it's not absolutely horrible. I think the thing that was always jarring for me was that the style was so different from the first two, and it feels so different still from the ones that follow. And I think that bothers me more than anything else, because I really wanted the movies to feel the same throughout, and they really don't. And sometimes that can get really, like, choppy.
Which I'm okay with, because I like being able to define the movies separately as opposed to together. Even like, I find, like, Chamber of Secrets to be very different from Sorcerer's Stone, even though it was directed by both Christopher Columbus, because I find that it's really, like, you need to tell a new story with each new movie, because going in, they knew 7, and it turned out being 8. If that blends, I think that loses its, like, marketability, in that they wanted to keep that, like, oh, what's this movie going to be like thing coming on, because you never really knew going into them. And that's where I loved Prisoner of Azkaban jumping in and bringing in this. It kept a lot of the horror that the first two had introduced, but it amped it up a lot, just from the source material with the Dementors. So, and it's funny, Adriana, that you mentioned too that Prisoner of Azkaban is the best book, because I'll admit this, I'm so tainted from the movie that I often, when I read back to the book, I just am like, wait, this is a whole nother story. How can I even, like, associate these two together ever again?
Ugh. Everyone's like, I have nothing to say to you. All right.
I really do like to look at this movie separate from not only, like, the books, but also from the entire movie series. It's almost like that one, like, lost Star Wars Christmas episode kind of deal to me. And I'm happy for that, because I like having it be its own slice outside of it all. Even though I know it did have to set up Marauders, and it kind of, did what it did there. That's understandable. I get where there's anger there.
All right, more power to you, Mitch. Whatever. Go with God. It's fine. Karen, do you want to go next? Or what did you...
Sure.
Yeah.
So my thing this week is Sweet Vicious, a new MTV television show. And I'm probably going to be talking about this a lot because I'm currently very obsessed with it. And it's basically about these two college girls. One is a sorority girl. The other one's sort of a rebellious, like, pot dealer, stoner kind of girl. Two very different people. And they end up teaming up together to fight crime on the college campus. Specifically, they go after rapists who have been drugging girls and, you know, raping them, and they get their revenge that way. And it's a very stylized sort of dark comedy that MTV is putting out. And I watched the first two episodes and absolutely fell in love with them and have been sort of living in a bubble since then. And then I went to New York Comic Con and saw and saw the first episode with Danielle. And even Danielle liked it. So it's not just me liking my weird things, as I tend to do. She thought it was great. And I'm really excited for everybody else to see it, because I think that this is going to be, first of all, a show about girl power. And it's also going to have a lot of kick-ass scenes, literally. And it's also going to be just, like, weird and funny and different. And I really hope it takes off, because MTV has been putting a lot of money and power behind their shows post-Teen Wolf, hoping that they find another one that really lands well. And between Shannara Chronicles and this one, and maybe even the upcoming War of the Worlds show that they just announced, they could be finding something really interesting.
I had not heard of this show before, Karen, but this sounds super exciting, so I think I'm going to check it out. So you said the first episode is out already?
No, I got screeners, unfortunately, but it's been a little quiet. I will say they haven't really been promoting it super hard, but it does come on after Teen Wolf on November 15th at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
There is a trailer that they just released, so you should watch that and see if it's maybe your kind of show.
Is that the same one we saw at Comic-Con, or the trailer?
I think it's different, actually. I think it's, longer. Either that or I just don't remember some of the scenes that were in it.
Hmm.
Now, does any of the Teen Wolf creative team come over to do this show? Because I know that obviously Jeff's doing the War of the Worlds TV show, so he's really preoccupied with that, but did you have, like, I don't even know, like, a script writer or whoever come over to
Sweet Vicious? I don't think so.
No?
I don't think there's enough up on IMDb yet for the credits, like, in terms of... It's not the same EP at all. The EP is a different EP. Jeff is doing another show not on MTV. War of the Worlds is sort of a side... Like, he's not the showrunner for that. He's, like, just a producer. He's show running another show that's not on MTV. It's on TNT, which is the Let the Right One In adaptation. And we
I'm
plan
happy
to
he's
drag...
going deeper into horror. That's good, because I think he has a lot he can do.
Don't tell him that. God.
No, I want him to become, like, and I don't mean this even, like, negatively. I just mean to say I want him to do what Ryan Murphy wanted to do with American Horror Story and do it successfully. Create, like, a really critically acclaimed and actually, like, good horror series out of Let the Right One In or War of the Worlds. Probably more Let the Right One In, as we're saying that Let the Right One In seems to be more of his main bay and his side bay.
Yeah,
side bay is War of the Worlds.
It's going to be interesting. I hope to drag someone from that family on to talk about Sweet Vicious or Let the Right One In at some point. I'm just, like, looking at IMDb right now to see if anyone involved in the show. Like, MTV has quite a lot of scripted shows. They're not all, like, the same team, like, from Teen Wolf and stuff like that. Like, I'll actually go into mine next in that case, because that mine is actually a little bit of a tie-in, unless anyone wants to ask Karen any more questions about Sweet Vicious. Which, were there any moments in it that were, like, you can tell us about that were, like, amazing, or, like, something that just really, when you knew it was going to be epic?
God, I don't even know. It's just, I really enjoyed the pilot, and I think there are a couple of moments that are maybe a little awkward, like they're still trying to find their groove, but overall, just the way that they've tackled it as sort of, like, pro-feminine power and pro, like, I don't know, everything? I can't even think of the right words, but it's just, it's different. I just keep going back to that. And actually, one of the things that I really enjoyed, because I got to interview them at New York Comic Con, was the creator, who's only 28 years old, by the way. That's how old I am, and I feel like I've done nothing with my life.
What's their name?
Jen Robinson, I think, or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But she was talking about how she hates television shows where women are cruel to each other and it's cool. So she went out of her way to make sure that the female relationships in this show weren't like that. When the one of the main characters, Jules, when her best friend finds out about the other main character, Ophelia, she's not mean to her. She's not jealous. She actually tries to get to know her because she's like, okay, my best friend has a new friend. I want to be in this circle as well. And I found that like one of the main reasons why I'm getting really excited about this show, because I hate that. I hate the way that females are always set up against each other, and the fact that she's gone out of her way to break a lot of stereotypes like that makes me really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. The trailer we saw at Comic-Con looks fun, and I remember hearing about it ages ago, like ages and ages and ages ago, and then we got the trailer, and it was not quite what I expected. So I am excited to see it and to see how captivating it possibly is. As a segue from MTV, this is completely random. Well, it's not completely random. That's a lie. There is actually a segue involved, but it's going to be roundabout a little bit. So thing that I'm stoked about, epic stoked about, is the new season of Supernatural, which will shock exactly no one who's been following me on Twitter for the last 6 months. I marathoned all of Supernatural since June, basically. So 11 seasons since June, finished season 11 today, and then the season 12 premiere was that night, and watched it, and it was amazing. I've really loved this show from start to finish. There's been maybe 5 episodes I didn't like in the whole thing. I know that it's been, you know, a mess of a show for people, you know, living it in real time, like, you know, tied into behind the scenes drama, or, you know, stuff being interpreted wrongly or whatever. I think watching it in a bubble without all of that is really rewarding, especially since it's now come to a place where I think that it's very positive, both, you know, behind the scenes and on screen. Like, a lot of learning curves have been tackled, you know, in how stuff is handled. And as I said, I never had too much of a problem with what I was seeing on screen, but apparently some of how it was talked about off screen was not fabulous. Moving past that, the new showrunner of the season is the guy who, for the past 8 seasons, has been my favorite writer on the show. And so I'm really excited about that, Andrew Dabb. But they also have new writing staff this season, which includes 2 writers from MTV, people who worked on Scream together, and one of them was also on iCandy and the other one was also on Awkward. So, Karen, did you follow any of those shows? I know you did Scream, obviously.
Yeah, I loved iCandy, and then it got cancelled. It was really disappointing.
So Meredith Glynn was an iCandy writer, female writer. She's now in the Supernatural writing room, and she was on Scream as well. And she wrote with Scream, on Scream with Steve Yockey, who is also was with Awkward. But yeah, him and Meredith do Scream, possibly still doing Scream, as well as Supernatural. And they've both had some really cool things to say on Twitter about being in Supernatural. So just that whole staff of the current Supernatural writers room is looking really exciting to me. The stories that and the attitudes and the, like, the mindset of the characters where they left off in the season 11 finale and the season 12 premiere is exactly what I've been, you know, hoping for them for the past, well, I say like 12 years. It wasn't 12 years for me. It was like 4 months. But the experience of the 12 years is, I would say that anyone who is a lapsed Supernatural fan would possibly, you know, at least if they appreciate the same kind of things that I do in what I want for the characters that I love, I think that this show is going uphill again. Not that I personally felt it was downhill, but I know that there was a lot of that going around. I feel like subjectively I've loved it. Objectively, I think it is in a massively good place, including the revival of Mary Winchester, the mother of the brothers, who is now alive again as the result of a weird parting gift from the big bad in the last season. And she's sort of currently there adjusting to being alive, and Dean kind of reacting to her when it's the thing that he sort of craved the most his whole life. And it's very, very adorable. And she's very, very badass and throws him on the ground, tackles him down because she thinks he's a threat in the first scene together. And it's epic. So they're going to be hanging out with this kick-ass mum driving around with them being like, you guys are idiots. So that's going to be really exciting for me. And there's lots of cool writers, and I feel like it's in a really, really, really good place. And I'm really, really excited about it. And I cried watching the premiere. So, yeah, I'm sorry to have bludgeoned everyone for the last 5 or 6 months with my strange decade-late Supernatural obsession, including making Karen listen to me at Comic-Con instead of watching Stranger Things while everyone else was watching Stranger Things. I apologize for that.
Don't apologize, although Stranger Things is amazing. I actually really enjoyed that conversation because I remember saying to you, I stopped watching Supernatural around season 8, I think, because it just started getting too repetitive for me with the brothers always just messing things up and getting mad at each other, then having to save each other and not telling each other things. And it was starting to drive me crazy. So I dropped it. But your enthusiasm has made me want to go back and rewatch it.
I think it rewards the rewatch as well. I think that watching it in a bubble, like knowing what's coming, as opposed to like dragging it out and being like, ah, don't do that. Yes, there have been a little bit of, you know, oh my God, like you're really going to pull this again. But yeah, you should catch up and then hang out with me watching Supernatural. The season 11 finale actually was an amazing moment in terms of it involved one of them, you know, committing to die to save the world again, of course, Dean. But he doesn't, though. Like, it's not another death and resurrection situation. But there have been several season finales, you know, where someone's died and got brought back, or someone's, you know, oh, this ritual has to be done, but you'll have to die. And then, you know, the other one will be, no, don't do the ritual, figure out something else. In this one, season 11 finale, he was going to die, totally prepared for it. Everyone accepted it. He went off, and it was like, it was not any, no one was rushing in being like, no, I choose, because they really tackled. It's interesting that you say that about the brothers, because season 11 really tackled the codependency. It really kept calling out two things. It kept calling out, hey, maybe we aren't going to die in the line of fire. Maybe we would end up settling down with another hunter one day and having a family or retiring, or maybe, you know, that, you know, our life doesn't have to suck. Kept hammering home that and having a lot of like, you know, introspection on that. And secondly, kept hammering home, hey, maybe everything keeps fucking up because we keep choosing each other over actually saving the world. And they actually address that that's like a problem, because they love each other so much, but there's always so much, like, the choices that they make for each other cause a lot of negativity. And it's actually been calling out that and calling out the fact that they are like that, that it's not actually a positive thing to be like that, basically, that, you know, even if love is great and whatever. So that's interesting that was what your problem was, because they're definitely going after that and kind of being like, hey, maybe we need to not do that. And that the season 11 finale did hinge on everyone involved, like Cass, Sam, everyone involved, letting Dean die to, you know, save the world, but then it ends up not being necessary because he ends up, you know, talking down the big bad and God and all of this stuff, and it ends up fine, and there's actually not a big sad ending to the season 11 finale. It's a pretty positive ending, which is unusual for them as well. So, yeah, and now the season 12 one is very exciting with their little mum along for the ride, and she's already very awesome. So that's obviously what I'm excited about right now. But, yeah, I'm sorry to have annoyed everyone else with Supernatural for so long, but there may be a bit more Supernatural chat coming up on this show at some point.
I have to say that, like, even on the outside, knowing very little about Supernatural, but definitely knowing enough to understand what you're going through, it's been really fun to watch you experience it from the end. I really have liked it, actually.
Oh, God.
It's been good.
Well, at least it's entertaining. Ariana, you can go next. I was going to say, you've never seen Supernatural, and you do not care about my Supernatural watching, which is fine. It's good. You're probably better off, but yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I also have like a flight to catch, so I'm like,
let's keep going.
I'll go fast. Okay, so mine for this week is NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, which happens in November, the best month out of the year. Hint, hint, that is my birthday month. But NaNoWriMo... Yay, Karen! So NaNoWriMo is really cool. It's this nonprofit organization that has kind of turned into this movement where you attempt to write a quote-unquote novel in a month. Basically, it's 50,000 words. So it comes out to about 1,667 words a day, which sounds really hard, and that's because it is. But it is also really, really fun, and I tried to do it for 3 years in a row, and last year I finally won. I wrote 50,000 words, and it was, like, the most exhilarating feeling, and also my house was never clean. but... it was really cool, so I'm really excited to do it again this year to hopefully write 50,000 words again. But I really encourage everyone. It's super fun. It's about, like, letting go, and which as, like, a perfectionist is really difficult, but I feel like a lot of us probably feel that way. So it's very exhilarating to just let go and be like, okay, first draft. So if you're thinking of doing it this year, talk to me on Twitter or something, or add me. Let's be friends on NaNoWriMo, because that's encouraging. That's the only thing that encourages me, is I'm very competitive.
You've done this a few times.
Yes, but this is last year was the only year that I actually got to 50,000. Usually I end up quitting, like, halfway through.
And so do you know what you're writing about?
Yeah, I do.
Karen, what about you? Do you write fiction still?
Yeah, I do. Actually, Ariana and I are writing buddies. We haven't updated in a while, but we've been trying to encourage each other, and it's really been working. Then I had to leave for New York, and that kind of put a pin in things. But I've tried NaNoWriMo, I think, once before. It was quite a few years ago. It is very difficult. I didn't win, although I feel like I should try. Like, I should keep trying, even if I don't win. It encourages to just write.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It also gets surprisingly easier. Like, the first few days, you're like, oh, my God, how can I write, like, this much? And then, like, towards the end, I would sit down and in an hour crank out, like, over 1,000 words in an hour. Whereas, like, the first day would be, like, 200 words. It's like, ah, so much.
Yeah.
So once you get used to doing it every day, it's, like, so easy.
Is it something about, like, the characters telling the story in a way?
I think it's just because you're, like, you're used to it. So it's like a muscle, right? So, like, it's kind of like training for a marathon. So the more you run each day, it's, like, a little bit more each day. And then by the end, you're like, oh, piece of cake.
It's so crazy. I don't know. I can't. Fiction writing is something so outside of my capacity of understanding that I just can't fathom it. So, yeah. And I've never read any fiction that any of you guys have written. I've written fiction that a couple of my friends have written, but not you guys. So if you ever want to show me, you can, but also you don't have to if you don't want to. But I think reading fiction by people you know is always quite an unusual experience, because you're always like, this real? Like, what is this? Like, what does this tell me about this person that I actually know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's really
that's what I'm always really afraid of, because I wrote a short story once and I ended up winning like sixth place for it. But I don't want to let anybody read it because it is really dark. And I'm like, what will they, think I'm a serial killer? So I'm always worried to share those kind of things for that exact reason.
I have a feeling they got the inspiration for that Mushroom Hannibal episode from your short story then, right?
Oh my God.
Had nothing to do with mushrooms.
Oh, that's sad. It should, if it's so dark, because like you love mushrooms. So, and if we're going to go dark with them, you might as well go serial killer Hannibal with it.
This was pre-mushroom obsession, which I know you guys don't understand that that was a time in my life, but
is your mushroom obsession recent?
It is.
I thought it was
like
a lifelong childhood.
No. I thought it was a lifelong thing as well.
Oh, no. It's just the last few years.
Oh, my God. You must have started it right before I met you, because I assumed you'd always been a freak for collecting mushrooms. So...
Yeah, like, when I think Karen, I think, like, Eminem, Mortal Kombat, and mushrooms.
Wow.
That's me in a nutshell.
That's so weird. Ariana, do you want to tell us about anything about what your story is about, or do you want to not tell us about what it's about?
No, I won't.
Okay, that's
once
fine.
Maybe the first draft is over, which will never happen.
Okay, that's fine. I'm excited for you. I hope it goes well and that everyone wants to cheer you on. If anyone wants to tweet any of us, by the way, on the website, if you don't already know us, which I think everyone listening to this does, but whatever, the notaboutheweatherpodcast.com website has a about the team bit on it under pages, and we're going to have some bios there, but at the moment it just has our names and Twitter. So if anyone needs Twitter, you can find it there or in the show notes for this episode, probably. So just to finish up, now that everyone's had a turn of being pissed off and being excited, we're just going to finish up with a couple of little segments that we're going to try out and see, you know, which ones work out each week and which one, you know, maybe don't, or something for the future. We're going to do a very quick two truths and a lie. So the lead host of each episode, this week that's me, but it won't necessarily always be me, we'll do a two truths and a lie, and then the rest of the gang has to guess which one, and it can be, you know, just something so you get to know us or laugh at us or whatever you want. And then we're going to do a question of the day from a listener, and that everyone gets a turn to answer this listener question. So that can be a question that's about yourself. We can give you advice, or it can be a question that you want us all to know, you know, to answer, like what's your favorite pizza topping, or something deeper and darker than that, if you like. And you can ask us that on Twitter, email, the Ask Box on Tumblr, whatever you like. So two truths and a lie. I'll just do a quick one for me, which possibly might be pretty easy if you have ever met me before, but maybe not. We'll see. So my two truths and a lie this week, they're not particularly pop culture related. They're just me related. So here we go. So number one, I have never drunken coffee. Number two, I have never smoked a cigarette. Number three, I have never drunk alcohol. So what's the lie out of those three? Mitch, do you want to guess?
Yeah, I think alcohol's the lie. And that sounds like I'm trying to be like cheeky, but I feel like I've heard a story or something. I could be making it up, obviously. But I feel like I've heard a story of you saying that you've not, like, been drunk, but you have... I can never get this verb right. Someone help me here. You have drank in the past? Did I say that right? I'm talking to a group of English
you
majors.
You have drink.
This is horrible.
You have drink.
You have drink?
Karen's...
No, you have drunk.
Karen, correct his grammar.
I think this actually one always messes
right?
me up, but I think it's drunk. I think you've never...
It just sounds weird. I know it's right, I guess, deep down. I'm just like, I can't follow through with it. Yeah, you have drunk. I feel like I've heard a story of you. Because it just, I don't know. Maybe it was like, I don't think it was a podcast meetup that I heard about this. It was more... I'm saying it was, actually, as opposed to like on a podcast. It was probably in person that I remember you saying something mm-hmm. about. Like, yes, this one timing that I went out on the town... And I had insert drink here. I don't drink at all, actually, so I wouldn't know.
Okay, Ariana?
I think it's coffee.
Okay. Any reasoning behind that? Just cause?
Because that would be the weirdest one. Like, okay, I know lots of, I've never had a cigarette. I know people who've never drunk alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like coffee is the thing that, like, people have coffee every day. So if you had never drunk coffee, everyone would be like, that's so weird, Natalie.
Mm. Karen, you probably know the answer to this.
Alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol's the lie. I have definitely drunk alcohol. The other two are true. I have never drunk coffee and I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never drunk tea either or hot chocolate. I don't like hot drinks. I can't put them in my mouth.
Oh, really? That's so shocking. I feel like... Yeah. I, that's also something, too, that I made up in my mind. I feel like I've heard you talk about
tea before.
Oh, my gosh.
I did it totally backwards.
What?
I don't know why. I was like, oh, we have to find the truth.
The truth amongst the two lies.
No, there's only one lie. Three statements all could be true. One is a lie.
Well,
so...
anyway, I would have gotten it wrong either way. So,
yeah.
So what's your lie? You've never had alcohol?
Yeah, that's the lie. I have had alcohol, so the other two things are true.
All three things are true. I didn't never thought about it. I have all three things being true for me. I feel like a special little butterfly now. Look at me.
You've never had coffee?
No.
Either?
No. I like coffee
serious?
Ice cream, but I refuse to try coffee because I do not want to get any more involved in caffeine than I already have been with soda. That's too much for me already. It just affects
Fair
me
enough.
So much. That's the reason I stay out of it.
I don't know very many other people besides me. I don't eat a lot of things. I have a lot of eating problems, and but coffee and tea are the ones that people are like, you don't drink coffee or you don't drink tea. That always gets people. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, next time we'll have a two truths and a lie from someone else. Karen, I think for our next episode, I've already put you in to do one. So
great.
We'll see. And then question of the day or hashtag ANA, ask NATWP anything. So every episode we'll pull a question from a friend or a listener that everyone on the show can answer. And so this week I just did a quick call out for questions, short turnaround, and got a reply from @RougeVelvet, who is actually a very good friend of mine called Kate, who has been a friend of mine on the internet since before I even knew Leo. So that would be over 10 years. Yeah. I actually met Leo in the banned live journal community that Kate, this girl, used to run. So that is...
Whoa.
And Kate is been a good online friend of mine for a long time, and we've recently started talking like daily because Supernatural is her biggest fandom, but she's always been around. But anyway, she was excited about this podcast, and she asked us, am I anti-feminist because I want to watch Supergirl now that Tyler Hoechlin is on board? Actually, don't answer. I know, ... And I included this question because, fun story, I love Supergirl, but the only reason I started watching it is because Jeremy Jordan was on it. So this is back before Hoechlin was cast, but it was definitely because of a boy that I started watching Supergirl as well. So I don't feel like it's too bad. I mean, we got there in the end, and it's a fantastic show, and I love it, and I love all the girls. I love Cat Grant, and I love everything about it. I love it so much more than I ever expected, but I definitely only started watching it because of Jeremy Jordan. So,
oh, he's
I don't
so
know.
Sweet. I don't blame
yeah.
you.
I feel like a bad feminist because I want to so badly love it, and I'm just having, like, a hard time getting into it.
I love Supergirl, and I felt kind of bad too, so I'm really glad that this question got in here, because I'm like, now I kind of want a Superman spinoff, or I want Superman to be regular on the show, because unlike everyone else in the world, I was not jazzed when Hoechlin was cast.
I'm so not jazzed.
I think that's part of it too. I'm so scared to watch it. I'm like, oh, what if he does
he's
it?
So
he's
good.
He's... I knew, like, from the set, I just knew he was going to be exactly
but neither
what
of you
he
have
should
watched
be.
Smallville. I need to get confirmation from Kristen that
I've
it's
watched Smallville.
Okay. You've watched Smallville? Are you a big
yeah,
fan?
Yeah, not all of it, but some of it. And Kristen loved him, by the way. We watched the premiere together, and we just kept shrieking whenever he came on, or when he winked, or when his hair was perfect. So don't worry. It's awesome. And
I will give him a chance.
He's so cute, and it just makes me want to die. Like, it's so perfect that I can't handle it. So, yeah, I don't know. I need him to be there forever. And I can't believe he's Superman, and it's so good. But anyway, Kate, you should watch Supergirl regardless of why. It's a very good show. It's very cute and ridiculous, but it's worth it. And he is worth it. And so is my ultimate bae, Jeremy Jordan. He's definitely worth it. So, yeah. All right. Well, I think that is everything that we have for this week. If you'd like to submit a question for us to answer next time, or just some general feedback about what you thought about our discussion, you can do that. As I mentioned, our Twitter is NATW Podcast. We've got the Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/NATW Podcast, Instagram, NATW Podcast, Gmail, NATWpodcast@gmail.com. And then our main website for this podcast is going to be notaboutheweatherpodcast.com, which you can send a Tumblr ask on or follow in the Tumblr manner. So, yeah, this was really fun and exciting for me. I hope everyone else had a good time. Does everyone feel good about this? Did you enjoy our discussion? We all just had some sharing and caring moments together and, you know, strengthened our friendship.
See, like, Natalie, the more we get into this, the more I feel like you have it down pat about what a podcast should be, because your motto has always been, like, podcasts are my forum to talk to people. If people want to listen to that, cool. But it's my excuse to, like, talk to friends and to chat about specific things. I love that. That's such a great way of approaching this, because I feel like, honestly, I don't even really think of, like, a listener when I'm talking on this show. I'm just catching up, really. That's what it feels like.
Well, it's literally the most social interaction I'm going to have all week, so yeah pretty much.
I'm with you on that for my... I feel you. It's nice. It's also nice. I've also said that, like, going about life, moving around as much as I do, that podcasting has been such a consistent, and it's been such a fun passion for me to have. And to have... This is so sappy. To have all you here is just like, oh, after all these years, it's great.
Aww.
Always.
Well, thank you very much for being a part of... Thank you for being a part of the show, Mitch. And Ariana, I hope you had a fun time and that you're not going to be too late and that you get everything to go to Austin in time. Thank you for making time to be on the first episode and being part of the show as well. I hope you had fun.
Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. And yeah, Karen, my little Karen, how are you feeling about this?
Well, I was fine until you said that. Now I'm feeling emotional.
Oh, Karen. Well, I hope that it was fun for you, and that, you know, we have many more such discussions. So, yeah, I feel like this was good. I feel like it didn't, you know, it didn't wander too much in a bad way, and it didn't feel like too unstructured. But, yeah, let us know what you think and if this was a good format for you to listen to. I'm sure it won't be for everyone. I said this on Twitter. This is the first show that any of us have done where you are coming to listen to us talk about whatever topics we happen to talk about, as opposed to coming to listen to people talk about a topic that you know you care about. So that is a pretty big step to take. It's pretty egocentric in a way. Like, it's having faith that people want to listen to us, which is obviously, you know, we're not really, like, very egocentric about that. So we don't know how many people are going to want to do that, but it is a pretty big step to take from going from something very subject based to very personality based. So thank you for giving that a chance if you're listening to us. And yeah, you'll hear from us really soon with a couple of our other hosts. We'll come on and do another episode soon, and we'll be mixing and matching our groups of hosts and hopefully getting some occasional guests on to come and play in with our obsessions to share and our grievances to air. And you can hear from them about all of the things in their life as well. So, yeah, thank you for joining us. But until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. It sounded like Ariana was, like, off on the airplane as she was saying that.
She's, like already gone.
Goodbye.
Okay. I can't do it. No. I can throw it. Really? Like, are you meant to flick it with your thumb?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever tried.
Like, you rest it on your thumb, right?
I don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think I'm strong enough to hit the coin up with my thumb.
I kind of just, like, throw it off of my thumb onto the ground and call it a day.
That's so interesting.
Ah, this is not going well. Okay, we'll get to that when we get to that.
Please tell me somebody recorded that.
Have you been to Austin before?
I have not.
I really like it. It's very strange. It's like this crazy alternative city in the middle of Texas, which is not very crazy and alternative. And yeah, it's good. You should. Yeah. It's quite hard to get around if you don't drive, but it'll be good. I hope that you have fun.
Thank you. I mean, I don't plan on going out very much because I'm, like, scared to go out by myself. But we'll see.
You were brave for that Hypebeast San Diego Comic-Con party.
What? I've never gone to a party by myself.
You showed up alone. Like, you didn't know anyone. I found you on the couch.
Oh, no, I went with Karen.
Oh, I didn't know you guys were, like, already hanging out that day. That makes more sense.
I went to her bedroom, and she showered. It was very intimate.
I literally do not remember this.
I have to, like, try my best to not interrupt, because I can't tell when...
Karen doesn't remember the first time she met me. This is wonderful.
That is sad. I just can't... The thing is, on my end, is I can't tell when someone's actually talking because of the way the echo is.
Oh, my God.
It's so strange.
You're doing okay.
So I'm trying my best to, like, stay outside of the conversation until, like, I feel like it's super clear. Because I feel like I would just run someone over and not know.
I don't understand why it's making that interference, but you're doing okay, but I don't really mind if this show's a bit interrupty, like not a dramatic amount, you know, of interrupty, but it can be a normal conversation level of interrupty, but you sound okay, so just, I guess...
I'm just trying to be super mindful of it, because I know I've done this before, too. I've had, interruption issues from the fact that Skype's lagging in some fashion, so I know it's happening... Was it dealing with audio hijack? Probably more of.
All right.
No, I'm being so melodramatic. I need to stop this because, like, I just needed to switch over to night shift schedule, as I was telling a couple of you guys. So that's where I'm, like, I don't get cranky when I get tired. I just get, like, really stupid. Like, the things that I care about are just dumb.
Okay.
But I'm turning that off. I'm becoming a fun person. Here we go.
Shall we start?
Yes.
I feel I feel a bit nervous. Is that weird?
Oh, it's kind of sweet.
Oh no, you're making it worse. Okay. All right.
First podcast ever.
Natalie, you're gonna look back at this in the next 5 years and be like, stop. How did we do this? We're such babes.
You're like, oh, we sound so awkward.
Mitch, if I listen to this in the next 5 years and it's still going, you and I will have been podcasting together for 10 years. Oh, how does that make you feel?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know too many things in my life other than, like, high school and family I was born into that I've known for 10 years. Like, that just...
I know.
That blows my mind. Already 5 years is a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started Glee Chat?
He was, like, 12.
It felt like I was. I was such a babe.